Let's get to our top non-weather-related story this afternoon. A Durham County man appeared in court this afternoon after being charged with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury. Orange County deputies responded to a domestic call received at 10:29 last night with a report of shots fired. Upon arriving at Claudia Court in Durham, just on the eastern edge of Orange County, deputies found 69-year-old Gabriel Rangel Tapia being detained by family members. Witnesses allege they heard a verbal altercation followed by gunshots. The family members removed a handgun from Rangel and secured it in the trunk of a nearby car while they waited for authorities. The victim, Rangel's son-in-law, was treated for multiple gunshot wounds and transferred to a nearby hospital where he remains. Rangel is being held on $100,000 bond. Now, updates from some of our roadways. We have a couple of updates on major construction projects going on. In Chapel Hill and Carborough, work has begun on the big resurfacing project on West Franklin Street and Main Street. They've made a little bit more progress this week. They had the Franklin Street down to one lane going toward Chapel Hill earlier today while they were patching up some stuff prior to doing the resurfacing in earnest. They will have at least one lane in each direction of those streets open through the duration of this project, and most of the work will be happening at night, so it shouldn't have too much of an adverse effect on traffic. The project is expected to wrap up sometime in August, and we will keep you posted with updates as that work continues. Also in road work, the Estes Way connectivity project is still going on. This week, grading will continue on Estes Drive, and Duke Power will relocate utility poles along Estes. Next week, utilities will move their infrastructure out of the construction zone, and due to positive response from the public, the town plans to install a walking lane on Caswell Road in the coming weeks. So keep an eye out for that. One last scary incident from the roads from over the weekend. Just after midnight on late Friday night, Saturday morning, an ambulance transporting a patient to the hospital crashed into a utility pole on Martin Luther King Boulevard. The ambulance overturned, causing injuries to the first responders. They did end up being more or less okay. The patient was also successfully transported to UNC hospitals, but the crash caused a power outage for numerous customers in the area for several hours. Moving to some campus news now, we told you last week about the new Dean of College of Arts and Sciences. Climate scientist James W.C. White comes to UNC from the University of Colorado. Here he is speaking to the UNC Board of Trustees last Thursday.
I am humbled to follow in the footsteps of a very fantastic dean. I will try my best to learn and listen and not do things that Terry says I shouldn't do. But I'm just very, very happy to be here and very proud.
That was James W.C. White, the new dean of UNC's College of Arts and Sciences. He'll be taking over for Terry Rhodes, who's retiring, who you heard him reference there. Over to Duke now, where medical experts recently weighed in on the possible health impacts of a Supreme Court decision overturning Roe versus Wade. In general, the medical experts say those impacts would be bad for public health. OBGYN Dr. Beverly Gray is the founder of Duke's Reproductive Health and Equity Advocacy Mobilization Team.
There's actually a study called the Turnaway Study that gives us a lot of information about how folks are impacted if they're turned away from legal abortion care. And so we know that those women, those families are more likely to stay in poverty. Their children are more likely to stay in poverty. They're more likely to be tethered to a violent partner. They're less likely to bond with their child. And so these are real life impacts on, you know, ordinary people seeking abortion care. And, you know, we care for many patients who have life-threatening medical conditions in which abortion saves their lives. And so there are other ways in which abortion can save someone's life and a way that abortion can give a person their life back. And I think we see that every day. There's a lot of stigma around abortion in our country. And so people don't talk about their abortion. But we know that by the time women reach menopause, around 1 in 4 of those women will have had an abortion.
Duke University's Dr. Beverly Gray speaking there. Time now to take a look at sports. And we had a couple of UNC teams in action over the weekend. It was actually a really great weekend to be a Diamond Heel. First, on the field, the baseball team completed a three-game sweep of number 20 Florida State on Saturday with an 11-0 win. They finished 43-19 on the year and 15-15 in conference play. They've been hot in conference play, winning their last three series of the season. The team turns its attention next to the ACC tournament. Carolina plays Clemson at 7 p.m. tomorrow and Virginia Tech at 7 p.m. on Friday. You can hear both of those games right here on 97.9 The Hill. In other baseball news, three Diamond Heels received all-conference honors today. Danny Ceretti was named All-ACC second team, Angel Zarate and Vance Honeycutt were named to the All-ACC third team, and Honeycutt was also named to the All-ACC freshman team. The top-ranked women's tennis team was in action this weekend, but unfortunately their season came to a close. They competed in the Final Four this weekend, but they fell in the semifinal round to Texas 4-2. In the high school ranks, Cedar Ridge High School senior track and field star Caroline Falks won the 3A state championship in women's pole vault. Thanks to News of Orange for reporting that first, and congratulations to Caroline. And in the pros, the Carolina Hurricanes dropped Game 3 of their Stanley Cup playoff series against the New York Rangers. The Canes have lost all of their playoff road games this year, a trend they hope to stop tomorrow in Game 4 at New York. Let's get back into some news now. We're going to take a look at some local government meetings. Orange County has named a new planning director. Cy Stober, who is currently development director in Mebane, will take over from Craig Benedict starting on June 21st. It is still budget season in local government. In Hillsborough, the town board's holding a public hearing on their budget proposal at 7 o'clock this evening in Town Hall. In Durham, county commissioners are also holding a 7 o'clock public meeting to discuss their budget. That meeting will be in the commissioners' chambers. In Pittsburgh, the town board is likely to approve town manager Chris Kennedy's budget when they meet tonight at 6. You can get agendas for all that's happening this week at government meetings at chapelborough.com. And finally today, we'll hear about one of the most endangered languages in the country, and definitely in North Carolina, what researchers are doing to revitalize it. The Cherokee language may be in danger of dying out, with fewer than 200 fluent speakers left in all of North Carolina. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach has more.
For UNC professor Ben Fry, he's not just teaching a language class. He's trying to preserve a part of North Carolina in danger of vanishing. In a tiny classroom, Fry teaches 10 students enrolled in Cherokee 102.
Yeah, how do you say, I want it that way?
Today's class, Fry has the students using I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys to conjugate the different forms of to want.
You don't see a textbook in here because I'm busy writing one. And so every semester I have to make my materials from scratch. I've made a lot of materials, but I'm basically building the plane while I'm flying it.
Fry is the only UNC professor teaching Cherokee. He's a member of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, but he didn't grow up speaking the language.
The primary reason why was because my grandmother, I've been told, was sent to boarding school where she was punished for speaking the language.
Federal boarding schools opened in the late 1800s. The federal government forcibly removed Native American children from their families and made them assimilate to Anglo-American standards, stripping them of their tribe identity and beating them for speaking their native tongue. Because of treatment in those boarding schools, fewer people chose to teach their children the language, leading to its endangered status.
We have 173 fluent speakers left. And I think the youngest fluent speaker we have is probably about 38, 39.
That's Bo Lossie. He's a curriculum specialist at New Katua Academy in Cherokee, North Carolina. It's a Cherokee immersion school running from early childhood through sixth grade. Lossie said he would love for the school program to continue past sixth grade, but there's just not enough speakers who want to be teachers left.
The ones we did have, they got older. They started in their 60s, a lot of them. So they're reaching 70. It's been a tough time the past couple years. Really tough time. 12 years ago, there were 400-some. We're down to less than half of that.
Because of this decline, Fry began creating an online Cherokee to English translation tool. And that's not a simple task. Cherokee is a relationship-based language, so a one-to-one English-to-Cherokee dictionary would be nearly impossible to create, as translation requires the context of the entire sentence. Instead, Fry compiles thousands of lines of parallel English-to-Cherokee text to preserve the language.
We have to think multidimensionally about the ways that we're going to solve this problem. I don't want to say the word salvage, but part of it seems to be about salvage.
He said he has serious concerns around the future of the language, saying social norms need to change to create more Cherokee-speaking spaces, even in the absence of tribal elders.
Our elders aren't going to be around forever, and we want to be able to preserve their knowledge the best we can.
And that's why Carolina Indian Circle President A.J. Hunt Briggs and UNC Senior is taking Fry's class. A member of the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina, Hunt Briggs said learning Cherokee is especially empowering as the Lumbee language was lost during colonization.
If by learning Cherokee I can help this language from going extinct like mine did, I'm gonna do it. Also, speaks to like the resiliency of Native tribes, because hit after hit we just keep going and it is exhausting. But there's no other choice but to keep going.
Fry said people can learn the language from computers, but ultimately he'd rather they learn it the way the Cherokee people have for thousands of years, from their parents, grandparents, elders, and the community. In Chapel Hill, I'm Eva Pukech.
Thank you, Eva. If you'd like to hear more on that story, you can visit our website, chapelborough.com.